Blog Talk Radio.
Coming live, a show-stopping, red carpet walking, elegant award show, September 29th to a Metro Detroit theater, is the hottest award show of the year. It's the first annual Spoken Word Billboard Awards, celebrating the Hot 100 ranking artists from across the globe in the elegant facility of the Village Theater in Canton, Michigan, featuring performances by R&B sensation Laurie Edwards, hip-hop phenomenon Zach One, soul singer Stephen Guy White, spoken word artist Romeo Donati, romantic blues musician Elvin Lloyd Horn, poet Jamie McConnell, vocalist Alfreda Castello, poet Dom Touch Artist Register, spoken word artist Jazzy Sadilk, and so many more. Be prepared for sheer entertainment that will touch every possible human emotion in your body, making you thirsty and already anticipating the next year's event. Tickets are $25 and are available through the Village Theater box office. Call 734-394-5300. To reserve your ticket today.
Good evening. This is Breaking Free with psychotherapist Lori Coburn. I'm Lori Coburn, and tonight we will be talking about forgiving the special romantic love relationship as we read about it in A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is all about relationships and all about forgiveness as the way to find our true self and return home to God. So these romantic relationships that cause us so many problems are the best thing that could happen to us, because through forgiving them, we come home. Through forgiving them, we forgive ourselves, and we step away from the ego-minded, piddly, worldly stuff into the grandeur of our true being, into the grandeur of true love without an object, true love that encompasses all, true love that can't be limited to a relationship between one body and another. But it's through these relationships with these bodies that we get to that, so we can bless these relationships, forgive them, and open up to a love that's beyond anything that this world has to offer. I'll be talking about Chapter 15, Section 5, The Holy Instant and Special Relationships. And then later I'll be talking about Lesson 127 in the workbook of A Course in Miracles. These chapters in A Course in Miracles have a lot of really good quotes that help us understand what the special relationship is, and how it limits us, but how to go beyond that to the true love of God that is in each of you. When you see the Christ, when you see the higher self, when you see the divine in your partner, and you forgive all those personality quirks and all those habits and all the ways that that person disappoints you, when you look past all of that and you see only the divine, the relationship you're in becomes an instrument, a vehicle to access the divine in a very beautiful way. The divine, again, cannot be limited to bodies, but it can be reflected through bodies and through what A Course in Miracles would call a holy relationship. A holy relationship is one in which the partners are choosing to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance, choosing to turn their relationship over to forgiveness and to love, past all the petty ego needs. Let's get into what is a special relationship, according to A Course in Miracles. In Chapter 15, Section 5, Paragraph 3, Line 3, it states, "To believe that special relationships with special love can offer you salvation is the belief that separation is salvation." And then in paragraph 2, lines 3 to 5, we read, "If you seek to separate out certain aspects of the totality and look to them to meet your imagined needs, you are attempting to use separation to save you. How then could guilt not enter? for separation is the source of guilt, and to appeal to it for salvation is to believe you are alone. In paragraph 4, lines 1 to 2, because of guilt, all special relationships have elements of fear in them. This is why they shift and change so frequently. Okay, what is a special relationship? A special relationship is a substitute for God's love. What we do here on earth is we think that when we fall in love with another person and that person meets all of our needs or most of our needs, there's all those songs that say, we'll never be lonely again. This is the best thing I've ever found. You are all I've ever lived for. You are all I ever want. And then what happens? Well, we end up fighting. The person disappoints us. We end up hating the person that we loved. We get divorced. Not all the time. Lots of relationships make it. Those that are God-centered or love-centered are the ones that make it more than the other ones. But there could be other ones where we try to be loving and we really try to do our best to make it work and we just can't. And that's because we're stuck in the ego. The ego is the part of us that feels separate and alone and scared. We feel like we're cut off from God. We're cut off from our source. We're making our way in this world. And this is a big, bad, scary world. It's really terrible to be alone. So when we find that other person, the ego rejoices and says, oh my gosh, now I've found what I've been looking for my whole life. And I'll never be sad again. I'll never be angry again. I'll never be alone again. And so that is what happens when we form a special relationship. We secretly, subconsciously, because we wouldn't admit this to our conscious mind that we think the other person's really going to save us from life. But deep down, we believe that. Because what happens when that person disappoints us? When all of a sudden, the person we thought was so wise and so loving becomes a jerk. Or the person we thought would care about our feelings tramples all over our feelings. Or the person we thought would prop up our self-esteem and always believe in us criticizes us and thinks we're stupid. And that happens all the time in relationships. Even the best of relationships have difficulty maintaining love all the time. It takes a very mature, self-realized being to stay in a relationship without conflict. And that's what the forgiveness of A Course in Miracles leads us to. It says that not only are we just forgiving what the other person seems to do, but we're forgiving ourselves for looking to that person to be our salvation. I can give you an example of something in my relationship. With my current partner, Rod, we had a lot of conflict for a long time because I felt like he wasn't telling me often enough that I was pretty, that he wasn't adoring me the way I wanted him to. I was used to being adored from my dad, and here comes this guy who loved me, Rod loves me, but he wasn't treating me the way I thought he should. So we got in all kinds of fights because I kept getting upset and disappointed, and when I would have low self-esteem or think bad about myself, I would pick a fight with him because he wasn't fixing me. He wasn't being my salvation. He was disappointing me. And because I was disappointing myself and I was feeling low self-worth and I was feeling guilty and bad and alone and scared in the world, when he did not come through as my savior, I got mad. So that's an idea of a special relationship. I expected him to make it all right for me instead of looking to myself. Applying the principles of A Course in Miracles, I was able to shift that to every time I realized when I was mad at Rod, it was always about myself. It was always something I was mad at in myself that I was then projecting onto him. I would pick fights. I would find something. And it was always very interesting to me that when I was in a snit, he would at that time do something to justify my anger. Oh, he would leave dirt around the house, or he would watch violent or sexual movies that really ticked me off when I would walk through the room, or just things that he would do that would make it so that I felt justified in picking a fight. And that, again, that's our projection. We see what we want to see. When I learned from A Course in Miracles that that was always my own issue, it wasn't about what movies he was watching. It wasn't about his behavior. It wasn't about whether or not he was being emotional and tender toward me. It was always about my own anger and my own issues. We stopped fighting. I took responsibility for my projections. I stopped making a special relationship out of our relationship. I asked the Holy Spirit to help me see things differently. And so now we get along really, really well. The first 6 years of our relationship, we fought like cats and dogs. I was picking a fight left and right, and then he would fight back with me. He didn't usually pick them, but he would fight back, and he would get just as vicious because I was not upholding his special relationship demands. He subconsciously chose me because he thought I would see him as the man, see him as perfect, see him as wonderful, always give sway to his opinion. And when I would argue with his opinions or not agree and think that he was wonderful, or if he did something and I just was irritated a little bit, he would go off the deep end because no longer was he the man in my eyes, and that upset him really bad. So then he felt justified fighting with me. Those were his projections onto me. I could get irritated about a little thing, about, say, the dishwasher, loading the dishwasher, or washing the dishes twice because he didn't realize he had washed them. And just a tiny little irritation, like, why'd you wash the dishes twice? And he would go ballistic. Why? Because he thought he failed in my eyes. And his idea of our special relationship was that he was perfect and wonderful and totally competent at all times, even with silly things like the dishes. So those are some ideas of what special relationships are about. You can call in with your questions at 917-932-8881. You can also go to my website, lauricoburn.com. That's LORRICOBURN.com. And under the Ask Lori section, you can ask me questions about special relationships. And callers that are already on the line, if you have a question, I think there's a certain number you press on your phone, and that will alert me to letting me know that you want to ask a question on the air. Okay, let's look at this Chapter 15, Section 5 again, Paragraph 3, Line 3. Oh, okay, before we do that, someone wants to make a call. Okay, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening. My name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, Hugh.
And do you teach the Course in Miracles? Or?
Yes.
Yes, I had an encounter with a woman who was a teacher. I never met her in person, and she taught it beautifully. But behind the scenes, her life was a total mess, and she started projecting things onto my truth and trying to mind manipulate me, which I wouldn't stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out until I started looking for her traits on the, and she filled the traits of a full-blown narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And when I called her out on that, she ran away and cut communications. And then when I attempted to reestablish communications, she sent out poison emails to people that I had introduced herself to. So I know, too, from looking on the Internet, and maybe you can address this, that the Course in Miracles is suspected in being some kind of CIA mind manipulation thing, and also that the one who downloaded it or was channeled it, Helen Schuckman, the last 2 years of her life, she was a schizophrenic and died a horrible death. I spoke with the priest who did her eulogy and who witnessed firsthand what her demise was the last couple of years of her life. So while the Course of Miracles is beautiful in its teachings, it's not the end all to everything. You have to have your heart to God connection and use your common sense in life.
Right. Well, okay, to answer the first question about the person who was a narcissist, and obviously she wasn't practicing what she was teaching if she was doing that, because...
Well, she's a mystic. She's very sophisticated, and
mm-hmm.
I think that she may have done this with other people because she was actually threatening to me in a paranormal way. I'd love to tell you a little bit about it off air so you could see who it is, because if she's still affecting people, which... She puts out love so beautifully, and that's what she's all about. But again, that's the way that she entraps people.
That would probably be a false teacher. And then on the other point that you made about Helen Schuckman,
uh-huh.
Bill Thetford, who took the notes down, typed it up for her, he died very peaceful and very happy. But she did die not believing what she had totally written down. And so she was not able to practice the course herself fully. But far as it being mind control, I don't know where people would get that, because it sets people free. It sets people to peace and love and joy. And actually it gets you away from the ego thoughts of hatred and separation and division. So if that's mind control, I don't know. Doesn't sound like it to me.
Yeah, I you can Google it and see what it's extensive information. But I'm glad you clarified that, because I never knew of it except through this woman. And I'm going, wow, if that's how this is affecting her, is it affecting all the other people? So that was a very good point you made. I thank you for that. So I'll leave a message for you. Maybe we can talk sometime.
Okay, you can contact me through my website.
Thank you very much for your information.
Thank you, Hugh.
Right.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, getting back to Chapter 15, Chapter 15, Section 5, Paragraph 3, Line 3. If you seek to separate out certain aspects of the totality and look to them to meet your imagined needs, you are attempting to use separation to save you. How then could guilt not enter? For separation is the source of guilt, and to appeal to it for salvation is to believe you are alone. What that means is that when we look for salvation in another body, in another person, as opposed to looking for it in God, then we automatically will feel guilty. Deep down, we know that that other person can't save us. And when we feel separate from somebody else, instead of being in the truth of our being is love. We are the love of God. And when we limit that to our bodies, or we limit it to special people, or we say, I can love you, but I can't love somebody else, then what happens is we automatically feel guilty, because love doesn't separate. Love does not judge. Love has to join. Love has to accept. And so when we try to limit love to specialness, then we are going to be fraught with issues. And so we look at, what is the reason for this high divorce rate in our country? Or why do these romances always fall apart? In space and time, in this world, they have to have problems, because that's the way this world is. Even the best of relationships have problems, because they're built on positive and negative dualities. No two bodies can possibly match. Like, say, for example, you meet your soulmate or your twin flame and you think, oh, we are so alike. We are just two halves of the same soul. It's just not possible. You still will fight and you still will have problems. But that doesn't mean you can't get over them. You can, and forgiveness is the way. And when you forgive and you see the other person as the divine being that they are, That is true love. When you look past and forgive everything that they seem to be doing, it's a mystical kind of love. It's a beauty. It's a love that's not really of this world. Love of this world could better be stated, I'll trade you very much, instead of I love you very much. Because love of this world is about, you give me what I want, then I'll give you what you want, and then we'll be happy together. Well, that's not going to work because we are not mind readers. Even in the best of relationships where you have good communication, you're going to have to agree to disagree because you're not going to have the same needs. So that's why this idea that a soulmate is going to complete us or make us feel whole, it just doesn't work. Now, however, there are certain people that we are soulmates with, so I don't mean to deride the soulmate concept at all. I've had a number of soulmates in my life. I consider Rod, my partner currently, to be a soulmate of mine. And in one sense, we don't feel whole when we're not with them because we're meant to be with them to work through our lessons. If we get angry and we break up and we're not at the time or it's not the pattern or the highest good to break up and go to another person and just to repeat the same lessons with somebody else, we will feel empty. We will feel apart from that person because we're really meant to heal relationships. The whole purpose of relationships is for healing and wholeness and to make them into holy relationships. There's a line in the manual number 3 that says, those who are to meet will meet because together they have the potential for a holy relationship. And these are called our chosen learning partners. And if we separate and cut ourselves off from these chosen learning partners, we won't feel whole. I had an example of that in my life with a man that I would call my twin flame, if there is such a thing. When I would try to cut him out of my soul, I'm not in physical contact with him, I have not been for almost 10 years, but when I would try to cut him out of my heart, I paid a huge price for that. And that's because A Course in Miracles says minds are joined. Bodies can't join because bodies are actually not really real. Bodies are a projection from our minds. It's the mind that is joined. So it doesn't matter if you're with your soulmate physically or not. If you're supposed to be together and you're supposed to be working things out and you're supposed to be forgiving each other, you're going to feel bad. You're not going to feel whole in your being if you are cutting that person out of your heart. You can't. It's going to keep gnawing at you. You can slam that door really tight. You can be angry at that person. You can try to cut them out of your life. But deep down, that is going to be there, and that is going to rub you the wrong way because you are meant to forgive. Not only are you meant to forgive that soulmate, you're actually meant to forgive everyone. But with these chosen learning partners, which are often our soulmates, the intensity or the grief or the pain or the anger around the separation is acute. And so that spurs us on to forgiveness. So again, if we don't forgive those, we don't feel whole. Think about it this way. You are love. And if you cut anybody out of your life, any person at all in the whole world, and this goes for the opposite political party, because we can have special relationships with our political parties too. That's different than a special romantic love relationship. But again, some people will say, oh, if we elect this candidate, he's going to save us or she's going to save us or this political party is going to save us and that other party is going to ruin us. Those are special relationships. We think that if we get this, if this happens, we will be saved. Well, I don't think that's happening. It doesn't look like politics throughout the eons have helped us in any way, shape, or form, no matter what party's in power. So if you like a certain party, that would be called a special love relationship. If you hate the other party, that would be called a special hate relationship. And the special hate relationship is one in which if I could only get rid of them, then I would be saved. So the special love relationship is if I can only have that, I'll be saved. Special hate relationship is if I only get rid of that, I'll be saved. So we see a lot of marriages in our society starting out as special love relationships. Then when they get divorced, they become special hate relationships. They're not healed. The people are still entwined. Some people hate their exes for the rest of their lives. So they carry this unforgiveness in their hearts. And when we don't forgive, we get sick. We get sick physically. We get sick emotionally. We get in accidents. Different things happen. But we are not happy if we don't forgive. We have to forgive everything if we are to be happy. If we look again at chapter 15, section 5, paragraph 4, lines 1 and 2, because of guilt, all special relationships have elements of fear in them. This is why they shift and change so frequently. We are afraid of losing our special love. We are afraid that it or the person or whatever will do something that will disappoint us. Or we are afraid that they will leave us if we disappoint them. Or we feel bad because we've treated them bad or they've treated us bad. There's all kinds of fear going on when we're in a special relationship. One of the things between my partner and I that were causing special relationship elements for a long time for me was he did not want to get married because he felt that that was just a special relationship and that was a piece of paper. And I've been divorced twice, so you think that piece of paper is really going to keep you from getting divorced again in the future? Do you think that piece of paper is going to give you security? So I was very angry with him for a long time about not wanting to get married until I let go of my need for feeling secure in him. And I decided to get that security from my higher self, from God, instead. Because once I let go of my grievance toward him, once I let go of expecting him to make me feel whole, to make me feel beautiful, to make me feel loved, to make me feel secure, to give me everything that I thought he should give me, then I started actually becoming whole. And it doesn't bother me anymore. My security, my love, my life is with God, my higher self, capital S. And that's the only place we ever find love and security in the whole world. We cannot look outside of ourselves to meet those needs. If we go back to paragraph 3, line 3, if you seek to separate out certain aspects of the totality and look to them to meet your imagined needs, you are attempting to use separation to save you. Why does that say our imagined needs? Because when we know we are part of God, we have no needs. We have no fears. We have no worries about the future. We don't hang on to the past. We don't try to get things from other people. That doesn't mean other people don't give us things. But we are not trying to use other people or other situations to make us whole. We're whole within ourselves. You can see that in certain sales situations. You can tell the salesperson who develops a special relationship with you by wanting something from you. If they'll like you as long as you buy from them, but then they don't like you when you don't buy from them. You can also tell the salesperson who is whole and complete and really truly only wants to join in a shared mutually satisfying interest where both parties get their needs met. If the person doesn't make the sale, that's okay because they want to make sure that you are satisfied. And they know they'll get their sale somewhere else. They'll get their money somewhere else. They don't need it from you in order to like you. And you can feel that from people. You can feel when somebody wants something from you. And you can also feel when they let you be who you are without any demands or expectations. That's one of the things that we find in relationship programs and relationship guidance. Stop having all these expectations of your partners. Now, it's okay to ask your partner to do something or to do something differently or do something for you, but it's also okay for your partner to say no. And that doesn't mean that you withhold your love or then do tit for tat where you withhold something from them. So a lot of relationship programs will say if you just talk to your partner, then they're going to automatically want to do this for you. Not really. Not necessarily. The relationships I've seen, there are going to be certain areas where you absolutely push each other's buttons. And usually those are the areas where you most need to heal. And that's why A Course in Miracles says that your special love relationships are your opportunities for healing. They are your angels. They are your saviors. And your only task is to forgive. Or if you can't on your own, just say, Holy Spirit, help me to forgive. I choose to forgive this. I choose to see things differently. Because when we forgive, we wake up from the illusion of this dream. This whole world is a dream we're projecting from our minds. We're making it up. And when we forgive, we take back our illusions. We wake up, and then we are the peace, love, and joy that we are in our being. If we go to lesson 127, there is no love but God's. This is in the workbook of A Course in Miracles. We have about just a little over 10 minutes left, so if you have any questions and you want to call in at 917-932-8881, feel free to do so. I will read the whole thing. This is broken down into different verses so that this is not in order. I've picked a bunch of verses out at random from the lesson. Perhaps you think there is a kind of love for this, a kind of love for that. Love's meaning is obscure to anyone who thinks that love can change, and thus he thinks that he can love at times and hate at other times. He also thinks that love can be bestowed on one and yet remain itself, although it is withheld from others. Love cannot judge. As it is one itself, it looks on all as one. Its meaning lies in oneness, and it must elude the mind that thinks of it as partial or in part. Love is a law without an opposite. There is not one principle the world upholds but violates the truth of what love is. Seek not within the world to find yourself, capital S. Today we take the largest single step this course requests in your advance toward its established goal. If you achieve the faintest glimmering of what love means today, you have advanced in distance without measure and in time beyond the count of years to your release. There is no love but God's. When I first read that, I was totally steeped in my twin flame relationship, and I was completely disappointed to hear that there was not a special love that was limited to the twin flame. I thought the twin flame that I had was the most perfect God, heaven on earth, that there possibly could be. I felt like the oneness that I felt with him and the depth of connection was different and more special than what other people felt. And I do still think that it was a very, very deep connection. And for me, the deepest connection I've ever felt in my life. However, to make that special, to separate that out and to say that that love is different than other kinds of love, it's not. We do have different bonds and different connections with people here, but love is love. Love does not have an object. Love is oneness. Oneness does not have an other. That would be two-ness. Love is. God is. And so if I hold to this idea that this love for this person is better, more special, different, and I can only have that with him, I'm lying to myself. That is obscuring love's meaning, as this lesson says. And so when I first read this and I was so steeped in the ego, I was bitterly disappointed. Oh, what do you mean? My love isn't perfect and better than anything else. Well, as I got further in my studies with A Course in Miracles, I didn't want to be separate from anybody else. I didn't want to be separate or to make my body and his body special or our union special. I just started wanting to love everybody. And I remember that through this relationship, as I forgave myself for making it special, as I forgave all the problems in that relationship, and this is again where forgiveness leads to our higher self, it hit me one day, what if I could love everyone as much as I love him? And that is what has started to happen. And actually it is there. I would have to say it is there. Because when I'm not in the ego thought system, when I'm in my true self, the love that I have is just general love. It's just love. It doesn't demand anything. It doesn't need anything. It's just total acceptance, total love, total non-judgment. And I would take this that I have today, this love that I have generalized for life, for people, for the world, over my special relationship any day. And sometimes I think that in the whole grand scheme of things, I wonder if that wasn't part of the reason the body of this other person had to leave my life, at least temporarily. I don't know if I will ever see him again, but it doesn't matter if I ever see him again because it's not about the body. I'm with him now. I'm always with him because love cannot be separate from itself. It just can't be. And how would I have learned that if we weren't separate and then if I didn't have to forgive this idea that we were separate? I went for many years just upset as all get out that we weren't together physically. That just was the worst thing in my entire life. I railed against it. I was horrified. It was awful. And when I actually forgave that notion that we could be separate, when I forgave him for what I thought he did for abandoning me, when I forgave myself for hurting him, judging him, all those barriers started melting away. And that's when the true self, that capital S, true self, started coming forth. A Course in Miracles says we do not have to teach ourselves love, but when we remove the barriers to love, that's when it just appears of its own, because we are love. How can we teach what we are? And we don't have to teach it. It's just what we are. But we remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. And as this line says, seek not within the world to find your capital S self. If you look to any person, any special relationship, and special relationships are not just with people. They can be with hobbies, with jobs, with careers, or whatever is your driving passion in your life. That's probably a special relationship at times, a holy relationship at other times, depending on if you're using it for the ego's purpose or the Holy Spirit's purpose. But when you look to anything in the world to give you that love, you're denying your capital S self. Because it's not out there. You are it. So the minute you look for it out there, you've lost it. So if you find yourself in this position where you are grieving a lost love, or you're angry at somebody, or you're having conflict with a relationship, forgive, 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 forgive. That will bring you back to truth. Your mind will heal of its own accord. You don't have to do anything except forgive. That's why A Course in Miracles says our only function in the world is forgiveness. The only reason we're here, apparently in these bodies, is to wake up to the truth that we're not here and that we're not in these bodies. That is the only peace that can be found. Today's lesson in the workbook is a review of lesson 200. There is no peace but the peace of God's. That's just like this lesson 127, there is no love but God's. There's no peace, there's no love, except through God. Now again, how you define God, it may be different for different people. God is truth, God is love, God is formless, eternal, ever-extending. God leaves no one out. God is not in a religion. God is not in rituals or laws to follow. God is love. That's why God does not judge. God does not need to forgive because God has never condemned. God completely looks on this whole world as an illusion in our minds. It has never happened. It's not happening. And God just is love. And when you forgive, and especially with the boundless opportunities that romantic relationships give us to forgive, this truth will dawn on your mind. As I've done the workbook lessons of A Course in Miracles, it said a lot of things that I understood intellectually, but it was not until I did the practice over and over. And when I talk about this twin flame of mine, as well as my current soulmate, Rod, this forgiveness has taken me years, and it still goes on today. Rod and I had a little spat this morning, but we immediately forgave it. So instead of the fight going on for 3 days, it was over in 5 minutes, and that's what's happened in our holy relationship. And our relationship is dedicated to the Holy Spirit's purpose for each of our awakening. We may be together for the next 20 years. We may wake up tomorrow morning and go, oh, we're done. We don't know, but we don't hold each other to that because we know that love does not possess. Love offers freedom. And I'm not talking about necessarily sexual freedom unless that is your contract with another person. That may be yours, maybe not, but he and I are monogamous. That's not part of our contract. But different people have different views on that, and the Course doesn't take a position on behavior. The Course talks about mind. And we have just a few moments left, so I would like to mention again that this was Chapter 15, Section 5, and Workbook Lesson 127, There is No Love But God's. Be grateful for those romantic relationships in your life that cause you pain. They are your ticket to heaven. They are your healing tickets. These people that bug you are your saviors. They're your angels. If you have any more questions, go to my website, www.lauricoburn.com. That's LORRICOBURN. And click on the Ask Lori section. I also have a bunch of other audios on there. I have some on soulmates and relationships and many on A Course in Miracles. And you can also read excerpts from my book, Breaking Free, How Forgiveness and A Course in Miracles Can Set You Free, on that website. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you next Wednesday night at the same time. Thank you.